Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, July 25th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 43, the second paragraph. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree, and we'll be reading that paragraph only and dissecting it out. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Anne Marie M., the 12 Traditions, Judy M., and the readers of the text, Donna W., Kathy Jo P., and Robin P. And the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, July 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,193. That's 13193. And for the Thursday, and for today, this morning, Thursday, July 25th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,200. That's 13200. Nan K. is our newcomer greeter, and the announcements coordinator is Janice P.M. Thank you all for your service. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Hi. Good morning, Mo. This is Anne Marie M., gratefully abstinent through God's grace. I'm from South Carolina. I'm in South Carolina. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M., and I will now ask Judy M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. This is Judy M. in Clearwater, Florida, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Judy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's not the mute button on your phone, that's the star 1. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 43 in More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree, and I am now going to ask Donna W. to get us started. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Very gratefully abstinent and recovered for today. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. One of these men, staff member of a world-renowned hospital, recently made this statement to some of us. What you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic's plight is, in my opinion, correct. As to two of you men whose stories I've heard, there's no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. Had you offered yourself as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I had been able to avoid it. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. Well, let's see. When I read this paragraph, as we wrap up More About Alcoholism, and as I've learned from the Vision for You called More About Alcoholism is about step one and admitting our powerlessness. And I read words like hopeless, hopelessness, heartbreaking, and then I read about divine help, spiritual hope. And this is quoting Dr. Percy Pollock at the Bellevue Hospital in New York. And this also reminds me that in the doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth admits that he's powerless. And so, this is something that was pretty profound for me. I heard from John Kay share when we were reading the doctor's opinion that the first admission of powerlessness was Dr. Silkworth, that he admitted that physicians are powerless over alcoholics. And I learned more about that this morning from Harlan. And so here, Dr. Percy Pollock is sticking his neck on the line as well, saying that he's powerless and we must have divine help. We must have a spiritual hope. There is virtually no other solution. And that's setting us up for the next chapter, which is all about higher power and God. And, when I read this, do I really want to think in another meeting, I'm reading a Dr. Bob story and, Dr. Bob talks about being above average. I'm above average. I'm not hopeless. How could you say that I'm hopeless? I'm good at most other things I set my mind to, but for some reason I cannot lick this compulsive eating thing, you know, because I've got the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. And no matter how much self-knowledge I have, like Fred, like, okay, I got it. You know, I cannot, I have no mental defense against that first bite. And, you know, what I'm learning in program, like for many years, I thought I had to recover myself. And when we read To the Wives for the first time in this meeting, it was very profound for me. On page 120, it says, you know, if your husband gets drunk, don't blame yourself. God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. And for me, that's like, oh, I don't recover myself. I have to, you know, I have to be hopeless enough. I have to be desperate enough that I surrender and receive God's help. And so this really is a spiritual program. And this book is helping us to have a spiritual solution. And I've heard, you know, that program is not about compliance, it's about surrender. So those are things I'm working on today. And I don't know about you, but I was raised to be very independent, strong, self-reliant. And so every day it's a challenge and an opportunity to remember I'm no longer running the show and that I need my higher power to direct my thinking, my eating, and my actions. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna W., for getting us started. And I'm now going to open up the lines for those of you who'd like to share this morning.
Robin.
Maureen S.
Kayla T.
I heard Maureen S., and there was somebody else in there.
Kayla T.
Say that
Robin
again.
H. Robin H.
Kayla T.
Kayla. Kayla.
Yes.
Kayla T. And then Robin. Was it
H.
T? No. Robin P?
Nope.
Yeah.
H. Nope.
H.
Robin H.
H. H. H.
H.
Okay. I got
yes.
Maureen S. Kaylee T, I think it is. And then Robin H.
And then Robin P.
I heard you. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Two Robins. Okay. Robin H. and Robin P. Got two more.
Kathy D.
Kathy D.
Yes.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. All right. Sherry, I'll get you on the next one. Okay, we've got Maureen S., Kaylee T., Robin H., Robin P., Kathy D., and Marilyn T. All right, Maureen S., you're on.
Hi. Thank you so much. Maureen S. here, gratefully recovering in New York. I love this paragraph, like I love every paragraph of the big book, because it just speaks to my soul. I so resonate with it. It seems like every word of it when I'm abstinent, when I'm choosing, you know, to use my drug of choice, which is food. And I can read this, you know, for 10 hours and not hear a word of it. I'm grateful to be abstinent today and that this can speak to me. That just so resonates with me that there was no doubt in his mind, no doubt, he says, that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And that so describes me to a T. I really felt like 100% hopeless. I had pretty much just given up. I was just in the disease in a 7-year relapse. And it just seemed like forever. And I really honestly had just pretty much said, you know what, I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And by the grace of God, I had a little tiny, tiny littlest bit of hope somewhere, like 0.0001 out of that 100% of hope. And I went into my little corner of my drawer where I had stashed all of my recovery stuff. My big book was in there, some other materials, which is funny that the addict in me never threw them out. Even though I ate and relapsed for 7 years, I never threw my big book out. But now I'm grateful for that hopelessness, because if I didn't have this recovery, I wouldn't have the peace that I have and the serenity that I have. And it's all from a divine nature. It's totally not from me. Like, I know that because I don't have that. I don't have it within me to do what's being done for me that I couldn't do for myself. I'm so grateful for this program and for the reliance on my higher power. In those 7 years when I was in relapse, I was my higher power. I was my God. I would put on the God hat in all the situations in my life and try to control this universe that I had created. And of course it doesn't work because I am not God, but I thought that I was. And every day I have to surrender. I don't have the food thoughts as much, but I still have the I am God thoughts, which lead me to the food when I can't control and fix the world. But I have hope. I have hope. I have hope. And that's what this program is giving me through my higher power. And I am just what they say, that there is no other solution. And for me, there is no other one because I've tried every single one. And there is not, and there is no other one. This is the only way that I can have serenity and peace is by giving each day to my higher power and taking off my God hat and putting down all these other substances that I use as God. For me, when I was in the food, I wouldn't turn to my higher power. So I'm grateful and thank you all for listening. Have a blessed day. I'll pass.
And thank you, Maureen S. Is it Kaylee T. followed by Robin H.?
Yeah, it's Kayla T. Kayla.
Kayla. Kayla. Okay, go.
Yeah,
on.
Thank you. It's okay. So, Kayla T., recovered compulsive overeater. I want to follow my sponsor's direction. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time sharing at this meeting, and I've been listening to vision meetings for about maybe 3-4 months. And today I have 93 days of continuous abstinence after struggling for a couple years in this program. And it wasn't until I got to a place, like the original person speaking talked about hopelessness. The reading was a little bit fast for me because I was trying to make sure I knew how to press *1. But I did hear hopelessness. And I did hear her say the compliance versus surrender. And those two points were things that had to come for me. It wasn't something that I could control or force. And I had to reach this utter state of hopelessness with the insanity of trying to control and enjoy and manipulate and try to do all the things and just the hopelessness of the self-berating talk and the, you know, just suicidal place that I found myself in, and all over what something that I thought in my mind that I had to, that I, like, it was, it's just food, is that, you know, like, you've got this. And I was raised as well to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and figure things out, and that is entirely opposite of what I've come to know in this program, and I'm just so grateful for my recovery today. I mean, it's been 93 solid days of me not having to worry about what I'm going to eat or anything. The most important thing of my day is that my sponsor says, and I agree with her, is my only job here is to make sure I continuously clear that channel that I have come to know through working the steps in this program, and by doing that is, you know, and that looks like every morning I have to surrender, you know, and every morning I get to do an inventory, and every day throughout the day, and right now another really great thing that I heard about the 10 step was that it's a tool that God gets to use to refine my character, and that I don't actually have any control over what gets to stay and what gets to go, but my job is to just do the work. And every morning I read that line, you know, faith without works is dead. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to now say that, you know, I'm on fire for this thing. And it's not that I get it. It's just that I'm experiencing the relief. And I'm just so grateful. And I want to share that people. So I'm available for sponsorship, and that's all for me. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kayla. Robin H. followed by Robin P.
Good morning, everybody. Robin H., gratefully recovering in Boston, Massachusetts, and really grateful for all of you and for this meeting. you know, I feel like every day I get more and more clarity about why I'm here. And I'm a life coach, and I'm like, no, you have to have like full clarity when you start out a process. And yeah, that's true to some degree. And maybe that's just the beginning foundation. And then you get, and then what I'm experiencing are these, the benefits of just surrendering. People keep saying it, you know, I've heard it so many times this morning and so many times in every meeting. And I'm like, yeah, now I kind of get what that means. And then I realize the next day, oh, I didn't know what it meant. Now I know what it means. And for me, this paragraph, what the things that really stand out are just the words divine help. And looking back on my life, I have spent so much time just working. And, you know, people would say, well, you just have to work at it. You know, if you want a better relationship with a higher power or God or Buddha or yourself or the universe, you just really have to work at it. And, oh, my goodness, I spent so much time working. But all the work that I did, I realize now, was all from my head. And that's like, that's not like a spiritual process, is not an intellectual process. They are, you know, they are about the only two things I will say are just there. If there's like, that's mutual, they're mutually exclusive. Everything else in the world to me is mutually inclusive, but it's not. It's there. I can't get closer to my higher power through my head. And I tried, and I didn't even know I was trying. And I could see myself looking back, like I feel like I was this small, pitiful, hopeless, scared person just trying to make it through. And I did, by the grace of all protective forces in the universe, I got to this point. And ultimately, It wasn't working. I mean, physically, yeah, I was here, but I was just empty and scared. And seeing or hearing everybody shares over the past maybe 2 months or so has just really opened my eyes and really taught me that if I want that relationship, if I want help, I have to open up my heart. And that relationship with higher power has always, like, higher power has always been there for me. I just didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I was too scared. And I'm just tired of living life afraid of everything. And, I mean, I did something yesterday that I thought I would never do, and I went to a nutritionist and opened my heart and sat there and had a list of everything that I wanted to get out of the meeting and that I wanted her to understand about me and who I am and my process and program. And I left feeling like, thank you. I'll close with, I left feeling like and knowing I got everything that I needed because I let higher power speak through her and I surrendered. I'm really grateful for that today, and I'm grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin H. Robin P., followed by Kathy D. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. Thanks so much for this wonderful meeting. God bless everybody in your recovery. I love just being reminded that it's just about surrender, you know, and the best thing that we can do is hit bottom. And when I work with sponsees and when my sponsor started working with me, she asked, you know, are you desperate enough to go to any length to recover? And if someone isn't, then they just, all we can do is just pray for them to hit bottom. At least that's been my experience. And, you know, I remember hearing something when I first came into the program, that it's my job to be humble and it's God's job to exalt me. And if I insist upon doing God's job for him, he'll insist upon doing my job for me. And I always remember that, and it's like one of those things that just stuck in my mind. And to just remember that surrender's the best thing that could happen to me, and it's the best thing in the world is to hit bottom, because it's the end of the pain and the beginning of being happy, joyous, and free. And there's nothing better than having a day where my food is just my food, and that it's literally what nourishes me so that I can use my gifts for good and be a blessing to God and my fellows. and to myself, you know. So God bless everybody. I hope you all have a wonderful abstinent day, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Kathy D., followed by Marilyn T.
Hi, it's Kathy D. in Colorado Springs. May I be heard?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the meeting. I am coming out of a long period of relapse. I came into OA years and years ago, was struck abstinent, and had about an 11-year honeymoon, and then it's been a struggle. I had been in visions and had some good recovery, but then went back out. So this paragraph is amazing because the last sentence, for most cases, there is virtually no other solution. I think I really did not get that. I really did not get in my relapse that there are two solutions for me. One is to blot out my illness until the bitter end, and the other is to accept spiritual help. I thought I was accepting spiritual help, but the thing was, I was trying to work. I worked really hard. I've never stopped working program. Even when I'm in relapse, I'm working program, but I was not surrendering my grosser handicaps. And those were the things that were keeping me in the illness. And recently, I was able to work a set of steps on the grosser handicaps, on my thinking. Much like I work it with my food. I just really took a solid look at my thinking. And through that, I have found some freedom. Praise God. It's been so long since I've felt free. So long. And accepting the divine help, what does that look like in my life? It looks like listening. It looks like vigilance. It's taking direction. Learning about the thinking and the patterns that keep me sick, that underlie the compulsion for me. It's being willing to do my 10 steps and to be honest. Oh, that one is so hard, to really be honest. Not honest with this sponsor on this and honest with this member on this, but to bring the whole me to one person and be honest. That's huge. So the only solution, also another big thing where my thinking is changing, is really praying and meditating in the morning. How can I be helpful? Maximum usefulness to myself and others, instead of thinking about all these fun little projects I want to do. Thinking about how can I be helpful to others, and in being helpful to others, God enables me to do the things that are fun and productive in my life. Isn't that amazing? I always love the thing when people say, when I put program first, I get a life second to none. And man, that's so my experience. Thank you for letting me share, Kathy D. in Colorado.
And thank you, Kathy D. And before Marilyn, I would like to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 43. In More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph, many doctors and psychiatrists agree. And after Marilyn, I'll take more names. Marilyn, good morning.
Thank you, Mo. This is Marilyn T., grateful compulsive overeater in Northern California. And some of you may know, but some of you don't, about 2 weeks ago, I did pick up. And interestingly enough, this time I dropped it like a hot rock, and I'm not going to go into that. But what it was, I was immediately struck by the hopelessness of trying to be your own higher power. And that apart from divine help, that's what I've underlined most in this paragraph, is that I am hopeless apart from divine help. And that is my first number one thing. I did not stay spiritually fit, for the cautionary tale here. I did not stay spiritually fit. I did not continue to sponsor. I didn't stay emotionally abstinent and physically abstinent. And so that is the only way I will be able to do it, was exactly by that, spiritually fit. My nose must be in this book all the time. I must be working with sponsees all the time. I cannot let outside forces, and which is family and obligations, I cannot let any of that come before my abstinence and my connection with my higher power. I will pay the ultimate price. I do not have it in me to go out on a spree. I am 65, and I know I won't come back. So I'm grateful, grateful, grateful that my higher power saw fit to slap me on the back of the head and point out that I was not in recovery, and I was letting things go, and then did the ultimate and picked up. So I have my sponsor back. I'm working it again through the program, and I cannot let down my defenses for 1 minute. I have to take my higher power everywhere. I have to put it above any of the drama that goes on in my life. It cannot get in the way of my recovery and my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And I will now open the lines up for those who'd like to share. And Sherry KB, I got you on there as number one.
Bruce E.
Charles
Bruce.
H.
Charles
Kelly
H.
Lydia T.
Kelly S. And
Deborah
Kelly?
R. Lydia
Deborah
T.
R. Lydia T. That's it. A-Y, Lydia T. Okay, Bruce. Try to write fast, Deborah, D-E-B. Okay, I got Sherry K.B., Bruce E., Charles H., I think it is, Kelly S., Deborah, and Lydia T. I hope we get to all of you, but we'll try. Sherry K.B., you're first.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Excuse me, very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers, and thank you, Team Thursday. You know, right here it talks about doctors and psychiatrists, so to me, right there it's talking about that I have a physical allergy of the body and a mental obsession of the mind. And it's telling me that unless I choose to do this work, the spiritual steps, which are divinely inspired by higher power, that I'm hopeless, and that I'm 100% hopeless apart from divine help, and how important it is that I get that if I'm a true compulsive overeater. And what I love looking up words, because the definitions of words that were used back in the day versus kind of what they are now are a little different, and it helps me understand the paragraph even more. So when it says here, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. And I looked up virtually in the Big Book Dictionary, and it says, in fact, or to all purposes. So it's saying the bottom line is there's no help but divine help for somebody like me. There's no other kind of help, period, bar none. So that tells me that I have to have a higher power in my life every day, from when I wake up to when I go to sleep at night, and to be in this book and to work the steps. Otherwise, I am hopeless. And, you know, we heard on the line this morning, somebody said that they had 11 years, and then they kind of started, you know, letting it chip away at them, and they were back in the food. And I need to hear stuff like that. I need to be reminded, because I do know that, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Cinderella thing, you know, that I turn into a pumpkin at midnight, but when I wake up, I have to start all over again. You know, I have to do this every day. If you're somebody like me and a true compulsive overeater, without a higher power, without working the steps, without being in this book, without, if you want to stay recovered, you've got to work with other people in order to stay recovered. And I know that I need the people I work with just as much as they need me. And without my higher power, I couldn't do any of this. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Bruce E., followed by Charles H. Bruce.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being on the line. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered in North Carolina, and It says here, many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusions. Well, what do they agree with? He goes on to say right at the end that I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there's virtually no other solution. So he's saying many doctors and psychiatrists agree with the conclusion that beyond spiritual help, beyond divine intervention, there's really no solution for the real alcoholic. There really isn't. And we know that, and it says it right here. And he said that Bill was hopeless. Well, as the too many of you whose stories I have heard, there is no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. He's saying they were hopeless. They couldn't do it themselves. They needed the divine help. And that's true for me. I thought in the past, and I still, my own secular human mind keeps taking me back to thinking I can do this thing myself, but there is no way I can do this without divine help, divine intervention, spiritual help. I can't do this apart from God. I've tried it. I've tried doing it myself. Failed over and over. And this doctor's right. What's really amazing about this, kind of comical, is that the doctor's sort of doing Bill's work for him, or doing our work for us, and saying that he's alcoholic, got to have divine help. So that's the solution. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Charles H., followed by Kelly S. Charles.
Thank you very much, Mo, for your service and all the shares around the world. This is Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. Dr. Silkwork reminded us that, you know, this is beyond his conception, because, number one, he wasn't a real compulsive overeater. Number two, he's a doctor, very powerful doctor, but he ain't got the power. Carl Jung, a great psychiatrist, he ain't got the power. and that's the same thing as of most doctors. I think the major problem for most, and this was my problem, even though I say I was a believer, I didn't believe this process could help me out. It says in how it works, and this is still step two without his aid. We need his aid. Whoever's aid you want it to be, we need his aid. And tomorrow we'll learn his defense must come from a higher power. And our experience is some of us got football numbers in Overeaters Anonymous and still eating. You know, some of us think that we can do it ourselves in Overeaters Anonymous, being in Overeaters Anonymous for decades. And, you know, and I heard this in a meeting. People that got time ain't got time to tell people how much time they got. This is a daily reprieve after doing the work on a daily 4-9, and the work has to continue. And these doctors cannot help us. They can tell you, Dr. Silkwork can give us a suggestion that we have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. They don't know about the spirituality. They witnessed it, but they don't know about it. They can't help us. The help must come from within. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. Kelly S., followed by Deborah R., I think.
Hey, guys, it's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks, Mo, for your service. Just really wanted to share on this because, you know, some of you know my story. So I've been around these rooms for 30-something years, and, you know, I was just sure I was hopeless because I thought I had done everything I was supposed to do, right? You know, I was, you know, Miss OA, self-appointed, of course. You know, did all these conventions and retreats and did all this stuff. And I had all these booklets and pamphlets and, you know, I answered the step questions out of these little pamphlets. And, you know, I was never able to maintain any kind of abstinence for a year. And so, you know, I was just sure I was hopeless. And when I started listening to Vision, reading out the big book, what I found is it said seemingly hopeless, What I didn't understand, which I felt now I feel like a broken record because it was huge for me, was I had a spiritual malady, right? So it's telling us here, 100% hopeless apart from divine help. So, you know, I was trying to use this God thing and this step stuff, whatever, just to stay abstinent. You know, I just wanted to lose my weight, stay abstinent, and I was a success if I went to bed abstinent. You know, as the guy that came out of the storm shelter, right? And at grandma, the wind stopped blowing, you know, and I lived in the bedevilments, even abstinent. And so I didn't understand the spiritual malady. So, of course, I always picked up because I can't do life. You know, my stuff would build up. Pretty soon back into eating and thinking, what the hell happened, you know? I thought I was doing all this stuff, right? But, you know, I've had many times people would ask me, where's your God in all this? Where's your higher power in all this? I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy making phone calls and writing and reading and, you know, doing all this stuff. And it's like, you know, I had to put the food down 100% black and white, which I've read in the doctor's opinion and heard from you guys how important that was. I was willing to do that, but that was just the beginning. And until I found this spiritual solution for this spiritual malady, which I have to work on every single day, I'm telling you, it is like, you know, I was eventually always picking back up. So today, because I understand that I have a spiritual malady, food was just my solution to that, and that I have to work these steps to get that spiritual awakening, you know, that it promises us, I'm going to go back. So today I'm grateful I'm working these steps, the food down 100%, black and white, and every day I get that daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I've never done maintenance in any area of my life today, and today, grateful to say, over 4.5 years of being recovered because I'm willing to do this work every single day. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, Mo. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Deborah R., followed by Lydia T. Deborah?
Yes, this is Deborah R. from Michigan, and welcome newcomers and fellow OA members. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and one day at a time, and it's been a good 9 years, and I like, you know, it's a spiritual solution. I tried many, many things, and I think the willpower I had and put into it, you know, if it was going to move a mountain, I would have moved the mountain, but I could not. And only by surrendering could I win. And it took a big dose of humility again and again to eat some humble pie that of myself, I am nothing. This disease is more powerful. We've got the cunning, baffling, powerful phrase, but it devastated me. It took me and my self-esteem below the basement. I could not, as much as I tried, retried, the only way that I have experienced happy, joyous, and free, which is promised, is to let go and trust a higher power. I choose to call God, but and then daily, sometimes midday, three quarters through the day, or before I go to bed, I'm back into God. What's the next right thing to do? That I of myself don't know what's in another person's head. All I can do is be honest, honor my boundaries, be compassionate. Love and tolerance is our code, and I choose to walk each day asking for God's guidance in the morning. I choose to sit quietly, do some prayer, a good 10-minute meditation minimally, and do some study of the big book and other OA literature and AA literature one day at a time to fortify my spiritual fitness. I said the last 9 years solid. I've been in OA for 36 and a half years, and not all of them were as a recovered compulsive overeater. And I can look back and learn from that, that my way doesn't make it. But leaning into my higher power does. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Deborah R. Lydia T. You're up.
Hi, this is Lydia T. From Marquette, Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. The thing that stood out to me the most on this was 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And then for most cases, there is virtually no other solution. And God knows I tried every other solution. Because I didn't have hundreds of pounds to lose, or I didn't have any physical repercussions yet from my disease, and everything else in my life seemingly was really good, it was hard for me to admit 100% hopelessness. It was hard for me to surrender until I was brought to my knees, which I was, and that was the only way out for me. If I could have done it on my own, oh my God, I would have. I have done everything, did everything, self-help, diets, spirituality things, writing, retreats, holistic, not holistic, vegan, pale, you name it. I did everything except turn to divine help. And when I finally was brought to my knees and turned to divine help was the only way that I was able to get through. And to have this program work for me, because I needed to be 100% on board and 100% giving over to my higher power in my step one that I could work the rest of the steps. Of course, I had to put the food down first, which I did, and I've been abstinent since and have worked through the steps and have total food neutrality, which I didn't think was ever going to be possible. This paragraph just really brings it. I mean, those two things to me just really, you know, apart from divine help, you know, none of this works without the divine help. And the doctor and psychiatrist who is really, really ahead of their time, because I'll tell you what, there are doctors today that are not going to admit this. And, you know, I see people every day working as a nurse in a cardiac unit. I see people and, you know, the doctors will suggest perhaps you need to lose some weight. And, you know, I try to spread the word. It's not always possible for me to do so. But the doctors that were in this, you know, written about in this book, they were way, way ahead of their times, way ahead. And thank God they were, that this book is available for those of us that have been so fortunate enough to find this program and this book and to be able to be helped. And that's all I have. So thank you so much for allowing me to share, and thank you for your service. Bye.
Thank you, Lydia T. We have time for a 1 minute or 2 minute share if somebody would like to share. Anybody have a burning desire?
Hi, Mo, it's Kathy Jo P.
Okay, Kathy Jo, give me a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Well, I was so distraught after I left OA for 22 years that I didn't even try to lose weight or diet, hardly ever. But I did go in wanting help with my blood pressure, my plantar fasciitis, my mental unwellness, and other aches and pains that came with being over 140 pounds overweight. And I remember my homeopath saying, I would help you, but you got to help yourself too. And I heard God say, go back to OA and get off sugar. And then my chiropractor said, I would do anything to help you, but I don't think you're going to listen. And she started crying. I was so resistant to taking the spiritual kit and following this program. And I do believe it's a gift. And I am so grateful that I was willing to do the work And God has done major changes in my life. And my blood pressure is perfect. My plantar fasciitis is gone. And my mental unwellness is getting better a day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P., for rounding us out. So I would like to thank all those who shared this morning and those who gave service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kathy Jo, you're back on again. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
All righty. Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.